Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you this really special day. I was going to say I'm rather reluctant to stand on here, hoping I don't get a baptism. But since Pastor Deja's already stood on it, I feel more warmed and comforted at heart to be on here. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm really excited about what God's doing in your midst. As Pastor Deja said, I was here for his induction or whatever you did that day in inaugurating him as your pastor. He and I come a very long way. Today the theme is called to go. And I was at his house for a couple of days before I joined you today, and we were just reminiscing or rethinking about the many years we spent together. I was his pastor for many years, and we were talking about our very first mission trip. I took him, because he was my worship leader then, on the very first mission trip that we went on together. And his memory serves him much better than mine on some of the finite details. And I think he told me it was 1997 that we got on a plane all the way to Zambia together. And ever since then, I've pretty much, after pastoring for a good 30-something years now, have traveled to over 30 different nations preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege to be with you today and to be able to share on the theme called to go. I would like to say a big hearty congratulations to those of you who were baptized today. Your lives will never be the same again in walking with Jesus. It brought back fine memories in 1984, back on the backside of some murky waters in Nigeria. The water was as brown as where you are sitting. I was so scared that they would dunk me under, not find me, in bringing me back up. But thank God I'm still here. So they did find me on that baptism day. So it brought back those fine memories of baptism then to me also. But let's have a quick look at this text this morning in Matthew chapter 28, which is the theme text today. And I want to back up slightly on it from verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mount which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages.'" The historical context of this particular text is that Jesus had earlier on in the book of Matthew 26 verse 32 said, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And we know Galilee is about 77, 78 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus had revealed himself to the 11 disciples in Jerusalem. But herein, these 11 disciples make their way to Galilee. And when they make their way from Jerusalem, which was the epicenter of where Jesus was crucified and rose again, they find themselves on this mountain in Galilee with a huge number of disciples. Many theologians actually believe this is the encounter that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, where he says that Jesus Christ revealed himself to over 500. And so this is possibly that encounter where he reveals himself to those 500, because it does tell us that some of them doubted at that point in time. So we know it is surely not the 11 disciples that doubted, because he had revealed himself to these 11 disciples in Jerusalem. Thomas had doubted there. And so we have this large cohort of disciples, possibly 500 of them, on this mountain in Galilee. And Jesus came and spoke to them because of their doubt there at that point in time. And he makes it clear to them. Of the first thing you have to make clear when you come, he says to them, all authority has been given to me. So whatever is going to happen, or whatever I'm going to say afterwards, I want you to know that I have the authority or the exousia to say it to you, is what he points out here. All authority is given me. In short, I have the right and I have the might to say the next few things I am going to say to you. And therein follows the great commission of his. Go, therefore, make disciples or learners of all ethnos, of all nations, of all ethnic groups, of every kind, of all people, and follow, and make disciples of them. And when he says this, he says, he gives us three participles. He says, go, baptize, and teach. Go, baptize, and teach them. Now, first and foremost, the commission, firstly, is exactly that, a co-mission. And I usually play around with words here. I say, to drive this home, if you are in a plane, there's usually a pilot, and there is what? A co-pilot. Now, the idea behind that is the pilot is the main man driving the plane, and he has a co-pilot that he either gives some responsibility to or supervises when he is flying the plane. So when God calls you and me on a co-mission, it means that he is flying with us already. He is doing the work already. God is already working in the world. God is already working in your life. He only invites you and me as Christians on a co-mission with him. We find this word co two other times in scripture. We find it as you are co-laborers, meaning that God is already laboring, and he calls you as a co-laborer. We find this word again as workers. You are co-workers with God. It means that God is already working, and he invites you and me to work with him in that way. So, now herein is this thing. When we are on a co-mission with God, as I said, it means that he is working. This is Christ in this text handing out responsibility to us and saying we are going to be carrying out a mission together. So saints, you and I are on this, or mandated on a mission with Christ. Now, here is the problem. In a world today where we like options, in a world today where we like choices, the commission for the Christian is not an option. It is not a choice. It simply is a command. It's not something that you can say, I'm opting out of. The very moment that you submit your life to Christ, the very moment you are called as a Christian, then you are opted into the commission of Christ. It's not an option. I was listening to this young lady's testimony with affection, because my first degree was in medicine. I wanted to be a medical doctor. I wanted to practice as a medical doctor. That's everything my life wanted to be. I was co-opted into the commission against my own will by the Holy Spirit. I was co-opted into it. But the moment I said yes to Christ, I said yes to his whole will for my life. In fact, there is a text in Acts of Apostles that is really amusing to me, because in that text, Jesus calls Peter. Peter's on the rooftop and he's having a nap in the afternoon. And all of a sudden in that nap, he has a trance and he sees everything Kentucky Fried Frog, barbecued crocodiles. He sees every conceivable thing that is unhealthy, and he hears a voice that says, "Rise up and eat." And he says, "No, Lord." And the Lord says to him again, "Rise up and eat. It's not going to harm you. I'll put some ketchup on it." He says, "No, Lord." And then the Lord says to him, "Whatever I have cleansed, don't call it unholy." But it's not there I'm going. There are two words that Peter puts together that actually do not go together. No and Lord. The moment you say Lord, implicit within the Lordship is the word yes. There's no and Lord do not go together. The moment you say he is my Lord, you're submitting to yes, implicitly yes. So you don't have a say in that. And so I remember when I was in medical school and I had this sense of strong calling to Bible school and I was fighting with it. And I felt a sense of the Lord saying, it's not an option. The commission is not an option. It is a commission. And as I thought of this, I actually took a look at the word a commissioned officer as a commissioned officer. And it said this. It says a commissioned officer is an officer who derives authority directly from a sovereign power. And as such, holds a commission and a charge to specific duties, responsibilities, and a position. So when a person is a commissioned officer, it plays out almost like the Great Commission. He is commissioned by a higher sovereign authority, and he has specific duties and responsibilities in accordance to the sovereign authority that has called him. Likewise, saints of God, you have been commissioned by a sovereign authority, and it comes with certain responsibilities and duties. And that is said here in that three participles that come out. Go. Teach or teach and baptize. Go, teach and baptize in the name of the Lord. So baptism this morning, we've experienced that, haven't we, as people of God? You know, the act of baptism associates the believer with the person of Jesus Christ and the triune God. And may I say, as we were watching these wonderful saints of God being baptized here this morning, we heard varying degrees of testimony and what God's doing in their life. But the moment you go under and come back on, you come out in newness of life. And God continues the work that he is doing in your life. So expect to see God, my wonderful brothers and sisters, continue to work in your life to do what he wants in your life. But the moment you went under, remember, there's no in Lordship. It's an implicit yes. And the moment you did that, you were saying yes totally to his Lordship in your life. It is also the symbolic rite by which one publicly acknowledges their personal commitment to Christ. There's no hiding anymore. You're wearing wonderful shirts. I am changed. I am changed. I'm a changed life. Yours is bubbling waters that you've been under and come back out. It says there's no hiding anymore. You are part of this wonderful, great commission that Christ has given us as people of God. Earlier on, Jesus had called his first disciples with these words, "Follow me, and I will make you." And he did as a play on words, because they are fishermen. So he plays around with that word and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." 38 years down of walking with the Lord, I look back and I don't know how I got here. But this I do know, I got here by the grace of God. I don't know how Pastor Deji and I, as I said, we went on a trip to Zambia. We got to Zambia on a large plane. Then where we were going was some 12 hours away or whatever it was by road. And we got on a small plane that sat about 12 people. I still remember Deji holding on to those seats, bent over on the very first ride. And I said, don't worry, we'll make it, Deji. Why did we do that? We got there to this ranshackled old church. Pastor lived in the church, had a mezzanine level on top of the church like this. Beds with no mattresses, just wood and a mat. Woke up the next morning, bed bugs had bitten us all over. Why did we do it? Because we are called to go. And ever since then, never stopped going. On the backside of Guinea-Conakry, 22-hour rides in cars. It's not all glamorous ministry. Because we are called to go. When do I stop going? When I meet my Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we stop going. And so he called them and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They took the Great Commission seriously. And it started with that one word that he said, go. You cannot baptize and teach without doing that first participle, which is go. And some of you might not go to Zambia or to India or to all these places. I went to India a couple of years back. I took another great friend of Deji's and mine, who is a dentist, who I knew when I was in medical school. We were both in medical school together. He graduated as a dentist, church member of mine. Left his surgery in Gravesend, came over to India, brought his tools along, and sat on a metal tin under a tree, extracting teeth and sorting out people's teeth in India, faraway land where he could be here in London. Why did he do it? Because we are called to go. One Indian man comes to meet us that one of the days as he's a whole line of people are there waiting for their teeth to be taken care of by this exquisite dentist who has his own surgery here, and said to him, where did you come from? Why are you doing this? He said, I came all the way from London. And you're sitting on a tin under a tree. Did you bring your equipment? He said, yes. The man said to him, I am a dentist. Next time you come, I'll give you my dental surgery for the week for free. When people see us go, they see Christ in us. See, if I call myself a Nigerian, everything that relates to being a Nigerian, I am in some ways, the good parts. Let's make that clear. When you call yourself a Christian, everything that relates to being a Christian is yours. That's who you are. That's what you do. And so you cannot call yourself a Christian if you don't go. You don't have to go all around the world. You can go within the context. Jesus gives one of his main parables is that of the Samaritan. He says, who is your neighbor? You can go within your neighborhood. In this COVID blighted environment, people are in need. You are called to go. You are not called to stay. You are called to go. So he calls them to go. The Great Commission is that. And I wrote this down. I said, the Great Commission is not always one of delight. It is simply one of discipline and dedication to the calling. Not every time do we feel like going. It's never great to leave your comfortable bed and to eat foreign food in an environment. I mean, Dr. Tikari and I, when we got to India, they put us in a room in this remote village, and the room was infested with varying degrees and stages and ages of cockroaches. And for the gospel of Christ, we stayed there. We would take a shower, the cockroaches would come out of the hole. Like, hey, hello. We are called as a people of God to go. So what if I don't want to go? And what if I do not feel like going? Going is part of your calling. Going is part of you being a Christian. Going is part of the command you received. Going is part of you being a commissioned officer in the army of the Lord. I won't take too much of our time today. We've had a wonderful service. A good soldier focuses on his mission. What is our mission? We sing that song. I think it was written around that time, 1998, too. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. A soldier is never called to stay. Either that soldier is in training, on the alert, or on a mission. Everything you do, or everything a person does as a soldier, is focused on a mission. He doesn't engage in the same way that we civilians engage, because he's on a mission. My grandmother, who was the greatest influence in my life in terms of the Christian faith, prayed all of us to salvation. I was born here, spent for the first 12 years of my life, then spent 12 years in Nigeria, met her there. She would wake us up at 12 in the middle of the night to pray till 3. How many of you know how long that is for someone who's a heathen? It's like eternity, every night. But then Grandma would be up in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, unfailingly. I perhaps met her when she was 65. And she would be on the buses preaching the gospel, unfailingly. When I went back to visit her when she was 89 years old, 90 years old, in around 2010, Grandma, I sat with her and she said, "Son, grandson, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm praying to the Lord, take me home. Why am I still here? I don't have anything to do anymore." Isn't that a wonderful way to go out? To serve the Lord, she knew that she was called to go. And every single one of her children is saved. Every single one of her grandkids is saved. Because that woman knew that she was called to go. You don't have to travel the world to be called to go. There are neighbors around you. There are people around you who need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only person they're going to come in contact with is you. There was one of the ladies here that was giving her testimony and said she came in contact with this gentleman over here who put her on the right way. That's being called to go. You as a person are called to go. May I end this quickly? When we are called to go, there's 3-4 things I want to know. I want to know who's sending me. And the person who is sending us is Jesus Christ himself. I want to know where I'm going. He says, "I'm calling you to all the ethnic groups, all the nations. All the nations can be here. All the nations are in England." He says, "I'm sending you to the nations." So I want to know who's sending me, Jesus. I want to know where I'm going, the nations, the ethnic groups around us. I want to know what I'm going to do. He says, "Go and teach," or "make learners of them." Make disciples of people. Go and teach them, making disciples of them. And then I want to know one other thing. If I'm going, are you coming with me? And when it's all said and done, the last words Jesus says in this particular text is that he says, "I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." Now notice he said, "I'm with you always." And I know why he said always. I know personally by experience why he said always. Because sometimes I don't feel like going. And he's with me when I don't feel like going. He's with me when I feel like going. He's with me when I don't feel like going. He's with me when I'm in a hospital in Zambia after food poisoning for 48 hours and Deji's praying over me for those 2 nights. He's with me. He's with me when I come tumbling off a motorbike in Uganda. He's with me. He's with me in a 22-hour ride across Guinea-Conakry. He's with me. He said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. So the great question this morning, when you meet him as your Lord and Savior, is he going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Or is he going to go, well? Let's bow our heads this morning. He says, I'm with you. I am with you. In what ways can you help to fulfill the Great Commission on this World Missions Day and be called to go? Maybe the Holy Spirit or Jesus in this moment will place moments in your heart to people in your heart that he has called you to minister to, called you to speak to, or called you to share his love with, called you to be the Samaritan and a neighbor to, and you've missed those opportunities. This morning is the time for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And as a good soldier enlisted in the army of the Lord, I will take up the call that you've given us today, that we are called to go.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.